It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, Mystery. We'll hear from insurance investigator Johnny Dollar later, but right now, Humphrey Bogart portrays Sam Spade in The Maltese Falcon. On the silver screen in 1941, directed by John Huston and co-starring Mary Astor, Sidney Greenstreet, and Peter Lorre, we hear all of the principal players in a half-hour adaptation next on the Lady Astor Screen Guild Theater. Heard on September 20th, 1943, on CBS.
Lady Astor presents the Screen Guild Players. Tonight, The Maltese Falcon. The starring players.
This is Humphrey Bogart.
This is Mary Astor.
This is Sidney Greenstreet.
And this is Peter Lorre.
Tonight, Lady Astor presents the Screen Guild players in Warner Brothers' sensational mystery story, The Maltese Falcon. It stars Humphrey Bogart as Private Detective Sam Spade, Mary Astor as Miss Wonderly, Sidney Greenstreet as Casper Gutman, and Peter Lorre as Joel Cairo. The story of the Maltese Falcon and of the people whose lives it touched and seared. It began in San Francisco when a beautiful young woman, who identified herself as Miss Wonderly, walked into the offices of Spade and Archer, private detectives. Miss Wonderly had just told Sam Spade why she wished to engage detectives when Spade's partner, Miles Archer, entered the office.
Oh, excuse me, Sam.
No, it's all right, Miles. Come in. Miss Wonderly, this is Miles Archer, my partner.
How do you do?
Well, I'm pleased to meet you.
Miss Wonderly's sister ran away from New York with a fellow named Floyd Thursby. They're here in San Francisco. Miss Wonderly has seen Thursby and has a date with him tonight. Maybe he'll bring the sister with him. The chances are he won't. Miss Wonderly wants us to find the sister, get her away from Thursby and back home.
But I want you to know that he's a dangerous man. I don't think he'd stop at anything. I don't believe he'd hesitate to kill Corinne, my sister, if he thought it would save him.
Uh-huh. What time is he coming to see you, Miss Wonderly?
After 8 o'clock.
All right, Miss Wonderly, we'll have a man there.
Well, I'll look after it myself.
Thank you, Mr. Archer. Will $200 be enough for a retainer?
Well, plenty. Well, it'll help if you meet Thursby in your hotel lobby, Miss Wonderly.
I will. Thank you again.
Goodbye. Well, Archer, what do you think of her?
Sweet. I'm going to enjoy shadowing her.
Okay, sucker. You call me if you run into any trouble. Hello? Yes, it's Spade.
It's Lieutenant Dundee, Spade.
What's on your mind, copper?
Don't you mind be interested in knowing that your partner, Archer, was found in an alley near the St. Mark, shot through the heart from close range. Blast burnt his coat. Coming down for a look at him before he's moved?
No. You've seen everything I could.
His gun was tucked away on his hip. It hadn't been fired. His overcoat was buttoned. Was he working, Sam? Well?
He was supposed to be tailing a fellow named Floyd Thursby.
What for?
Now, now don't crowd me. I'll see you after I break the news to Archer's wife.
I'll be there in a couple of hours.
Come on in.
Break the news to Archer's wife, Sam?
Uh-huh.
Kind of a gun do you carry?
None. I don't like them much.
You don't just happen to have one on you?
Search me. Turn the dump upside down if you want to. I won't squawk if you got a search warrant.
Why were you tailing Floyd Thursby, Sam?
I wasn't. Archer was. For the swell reason that we had a client who was paying good money to have him tailed.
Who's the client?
Sorry, I can't tell you that.
You didn't go to Archer's house to tell his wife. I called up, and the girl from your office was there, and she said you told her to go.
What are you leading up to?
Just this, Spade. Floyd Thursby was shot down in front of his hotel about a half an hour after I talked to you.
Oh. I came into my apartment just a few minutes ahead of you. I was walking around thinking things over.
I knew you weren't here. I tried to get you on the phone. Where'd you walk to?
Just around. Thursby die?
Yeah.
How'd I kill him? I forget.
He was shot four times in the back.
Hotel people know anything about him?
Nothing. Except he'd been there a week.
Alone?
Alone.
You find out who he was? What his game was?
No, I thought you could tell me that.
I've never seen Thursby dead or alive.
Now, look, Spade. You know me. If you did get Thursby, you'll get a square deal from me. And most of the breaks. I don't know that I'd blame you a lot. Man that killed your partner. But that wouldn't keep me from nailing you.
That's fair enough. Now, would you mind scramming? I got some thinking to do, and I'd like to get a little sleep before daylight. Hello? Yeah, this is Sam Spade. Oh, I was just going to call you. Where are you? Well, the Coronet on California Street, apartment 101. What's that? The name's Miss LeBlanc. Okay, I'll be right out. Oh, good morning.
Come in, Mr. Spade. Mr. Spade, I've a terrible, terrible confession to make. That story I told you yesterday was all just a story.
Huh. Oh, that. Well, we didn't exactly believe your story, Miss. Is your name Wonderly or LeBlanc?
It's really O'Shaughnessy, Bridget O'Shaughnessy.
Oh. Well, Miss O'Shaughnessy, as I said, we didn't exactly believe your story. We believed your $200.
Oh?
Yes, you see, you paid us too much to be telling the truth.
You knew that when you accepted the money?
Oh, I suspected it. I was positive when Joel Cairo called on me.
Joel Cairo?
Yeah. Yeah, he seems interested in Floyd Thursby, too.
What did he say?
About what?
About me.
Nothing.
Well, what did he talk about?
Well, he offered me $5,000 for a black statuette of a bird. He was pretty sure I had it or knew where it was.
Do you?
Oh, I think I know someone who does, and $5,000 is a lot of money. But right now, the police are trying to find out who hired us to tail Floyd Thursby.
Mr. Spade, do they know about me?
No, I don't think they do. I've been able to stall them so far.
Must they know about me at all, Mr. Spade? Couldn't you manage somehow to shield me from them?
Maybe. But I'll have to know what it's all about.
I can't tell you now. Later I will, when I can. You must trust me, Mr. Spade. Oh, I'm so alone and afraid. I've got nobody to help me if you won't help me. Be generous, Mr. Spade. You're strong. You're brave. You can spare me some of that strength and courage, surely.
Sister, you don't need much of anybody's help. You're good. Chiefly your eyes, I think, and that throb you get in your voice when you say things like, be generous, Mr. Spade.
All right. I deserve that. But the lie was in the way I said it, and not at all in what I said.
Ah, now you are dangerous. Still, Cairo offered me $5,000.
It's far more than I could ever offer you if I must bid for your loyalty.
Yeah, that's good coming from you. Have you given me any of your confidence, any of the truth? I can't go ahead without more confidence in you than I have now.
Can't you trust me just a little while?
Well, how much is a little? And what are you waiting for?
I must talk to Joel Cairo.
Oh. Well, you can see him tonight. I know where to reach him.
Oh, he can't come here. I can't let him know where I am. I'm afraid.
We'll all meet at my place, then.
All right.
I'm delighted to see you again, Miss O'Shaughnessy.
I was sure you would be, Joe. Mr. Spade told me about your offer for the Maltese Falcon. How soon can you have the money ready?
Oh, it is ready.
You are ready to give us $5,000 if we turn the Falcon over to you?
I shall be able to give you the money as soon as the bank opens in the morning.
But I haven't got the Falcon.
Then why did you send for me?
because I'll have it in another week.
Yes? Where is it?
Where Floyd hid it.
If you know where he hid it, why must we wait a week? And why are you willing to sell it to me?
I'm afraid. After what happened to Floyd, I'm afraid to touch it except to turn it over to somebody else right away.
Exactly what did happen to Floyd?
The fat man.
Gutman? Is he here?
I don't know. I suppose so.
If you two let me interrupt for a second, I can answer that. Gutman is here.
How do you know?
Because he called me and asked me to see him.
Have you?
Not yet. I thought that after our friend Cairo here left, I'd find out just how you and I stand before I took on any more clients.
Now, do you know how you and I stand, Sam?
Yeah. If I can believe anything about you. But you're such a liar.
I am a liar. I've always been a liar.
Well, I wouldn't brag about it. Was there any truth at all in that yarn you were telling me about Thursby and the Falcon?
Some. Not very much.
Well, we've got all night before us.
Oh, I'm so tired. So tired of lying and thinking up lies and not knowing what is a lie and what is the truth. I wish...
Hey, look, honey. I think I'd better have a talk with Gutman in the morning. And now, Mr. Gutman, shall we talk about the Falcon?
No. By all means, Mr. Spade. But first, sir, answer me a question. Are you here as Mr. O'Shaughnessy's representative?
Well, there's nothing certain about it either way yet. It depends.
Maybe it depends on Joel Cairo?
Maybe.
The question then, Mr. Spade, is which you'll represent. It'll be Mr. O'Shaughnessy or Mr. Cairo.
I didn't say so.
Who else is there?
There's me.
Oh, well, that's wonderful, sir, wonderful. I do like a man who tells you right out he's looking out for himself. Don't we all?
Uh-huh. Now let's talk about the Blackbird.
Let's, Mr. Spade. Have you any conception of how much money can be got out of that Blackbird?
No, but you just tell me what it is and I'll figure out the profits.
You mean you don't know what that bird is?
Well, I know it's black enameled, about a foot high, and I know the value in human life you people put on it.
Mr. O'Shaughnessy didn't tell you what it is?
He offered
me... And Cairo didn't either?
He offered me $10,000 for it.
Do either of them know what that bird is, sir? What is your impression?
Well, there's not much to go by, but I don't think so.
If they don't know, I'm the only one in the whole wide, sweet world who does.
Good. And when you tell me, there'll be two of us.
Mathematically correct, sir. But I don't know for certain that I'm going to tell you.
Well, you think again and think fast. You'll do your talking today or you're through. What are you wasting my time for? I can get along without you.
That remains to be seen, Mr. Spade. There are ways...
And there's another thing. Keep that gunman of yours away from me while you're making up your mind or I'll kill him.
Well, sir, I must say you have a very violent temper.
Think it over. You got till 5:30. Then you're either in or out for keeps.
Wilma.
I'm going to kill that guy. I could have done it easy when he was standing there with his back to me.
Of course you could, my boy. But business before pleasure. And we'll be seeing Mr. Spade again before 5:30.
So ends Act One of The Maltese Falcon, starring Peter Lorre, Sidney Greenstreet, Mary Esther, and Humphrey Bogart. Afternoon following Sam Spade's visit to Gutman's apartment, a dying man staggered into Spade's office and collapsed on the floor. He died before he could speak to Spade, but his papers identified him as Captain Jacoby of the steamship La Paloma, and clutched to his bullet-torn chest was the Maltese Falcon. After depositing the Falcon in a railroad station checkroom and mailing the identification check to his private post office box, Sam met Bridget O'Shaughnessy and took her to his apartment.
You know, Sam, I never would have faced myself in this position if I hadn't trusted you completely.
Oh, that again?
But you know that's so.
You don't have to trust me as long as you can persuade me to trust you.
But, Sam, darling...
Well, I think we better let it go at that until we see what happens after Gutman gets here.
The fat man? Here?
Certainly, why not? Anyway, that should be him. So it's too late to change our plans. I'll be right back. Oh, hello, Gutman.
Good evening, sir.
I see you brought company. I can understand the gunman, but I didn't know Cairo was a friend of yours.
No, we're old acquaintances. Now that we're all here, let's go in and sit down and be comfortable and talk.
Oh, sure. Come on in. Now, look, Angel. Gutman brought a couple of friends along.
Good evening, Mr. Shaughnessy.
Hello, Joe.
You look unusually charming this evening, my dear.
Thanks.
The gunsel doesn't talk, Angel. Get away from me, punk.
Stand still and shut up.
Listen, you're not going to frisk me, touch me, and I'm going to make you use that gun. Ask your boss if he wants me shut up before we talk.
Never mind, Wilmer. You're certainly a most headstrong and unpredictable individual, Mr. Spade. Now, why did you send for me?
You ready to make the first payment and take the falcon off my hands?
The falcon?
That's right, Angel. I've got it.
Well, sir, I have in this envelope $10,000.
$10,000? Oh, we were talking about more money than that.
Yes, sir, we were, but there are more of us to be taken care of now.
Well, that may be, but I've got the falcon.
I shouldn't think it would be necessary to remind you, Mr. Speed, that though you may have the falcon, yet we certainly have you.
Yes, I'm trying not to let that worry me, but let the money wait. There's another thing to be taken care of first. We've got to have a fall guy.
I beg your pardon?
Police have got to have a victim, somebody they can stick for those three murders.
Two. Only two murders, Mr. Speed. Thursby undoubtedly killed your partner.
All right, two then. Now, the point I've got to give the police, a victim when the time comes. If I don't, I'll be it. Let's give him Wilmer here.
Why, you dirty rat.
He actually did shoot Thursby and Jacoby, didn't he? Anyway, he's made to order for the part. Let's turn him over to them.
By God, so you are a character, that you are. There's never any telling what you'll say or do next, except that it's bound to be something astonishing.
Well, it's our best bet. With him in their hands, the police will forget the rest of us.
Your plan is not at all practical, sir. Let's not say anything more about it.
All right. I have another suggestion. Let's give him Cairo.
Well, by God, sir.
Suppose we give him you, Mr. Spade, or Mr. Shaughnessy. How about that, huh?
Sam, you wouldn't.
You people want the fork, and I've got it. A fall guy is part of the price I'm insisting on.
You seem to forget you're not in a position to insist on anything.
No? If you kill me, how are you going to get the falcon?
By God, sir, you are a character.
Well?
Well, what else can I do? I'm sorry, Wilmer. Terribly sorry. I want you to know that I couldn't be any fonder of you if you were my own son. But, well, if you lose a son, it's possible to get another. And there's only one Maltese falcon.
You rat, I'll kill you for this.
Thank you, Mr. Spade. When you're as young as Wilmer, one simply doesn't understand these things.
And how about some coffee, Bridget? Put the pot on, will you? I don't like to leave my guests.
Surely. Anything to get out of here.
Now, sir, let's get down to business.
I ought to have more than 10,000.
Of course, sir, you understand this is the first payment. You still don't understand the falcon's worth.
Well, a black enamel bird can't be worth millions.
But it is. Otherwise, I should not have spent 17 years of my life trying to acquire it. The black enamel you refer to, sir, is merely camouflage, covering a solid gold bird encrusted from head to foot with the finest jewel.
Okay. So I get millions later. How's about 15,000 now?
Frankly and candidly, and on my word of honor as a gentleman, the 10,000 I gave you is all the money I can raise right now.
Yeah, but you didn't say positively.
Positively.
Well, if that's the best you can do, it's the best you can do. But it's understood the punk has to stand as the fall guy.
That is part of our agreement, sir.
Okay, I'll make a phone call. The falcon will be here in an hour.
It's a fake. Huh? This is not the Maltese falcon.
Why?
This is a lead imitation covered with the same enamel. See where I've shaved it off with a knife? Lead. Pure lead.
You bungled it. You, Gutman. You and your stupid attempt to buy it from the Russian who owned it. He caught on to how valuable it was. No wonder we had so little trouble stealing it. You imbecile. You bloated idiot.
Well, sir, what do you suggest? Shall we stand here and shed tears and call each other names? Or shall we pay the Russian another call in Istanbul?
Are you going?
17 years I've wanted that little item, and I intend to get it. Another year, well, sir, that will be an additional expenditure of time on only 5 15/17%.
I go with you.
Good. And Wilma?
Wilma, he...
Where is the boy?
He must have made his getaway while we were unwrapping the fog.
A swell lot of thieves.
Well, sir, I left to ask you to return my $10,000.
I held up my end. It's your hard luck, not mine, if you didn't get what you wanted.
I'm sorry, but I must insist.
Oh, a hideout gun, huh? Okay.
Thank you, sir. The shortest farewells are the best. Adieu. And to you, Miss O'Shaughnessy, I leave the fake Falcon as a little memento. Come, Carl.
Hello, police department. Lieutenant Dundee there, put him on. Tell him Sam Spade's calling. Gutman and Cairo will talk when the cops nail them about us. We've only got minutes to get set for the police. Now give me your whole story fast.
Well, where shall I begin?
The day you first came to my office. Why did you want Thursby shadowed?
I suspected him of betraying me to Gutman, and I wanted to find out.
That's a lie. Gutman tried to make a deal with him. You had Thursby hooked, and you knew it. You wanted to get him out of the way before Captain Jacoby arrived with the Falcon. Isn't that so? What was your scheme?
I thought if he saw someone following him, he might be frightened into going away.
Now look, Archer hadn't many brains, but he wasn't clumsy enough to be spotted the first night. You must have told Thursby he was being followed.
I told him, yes. But please believe me, Sam, I wouldn't have told him if I'd thought Floyd would kill him.
If you thought he wouldn't kill Archie, you were right, Angel.
Didn't he?
Archer had been a detective too long to be caught shadowing a man up a blind alley with his gun tucked away in his hip and his overcoat button. But he'd have gone up there with you, Angel. He was just dumb enough for that.
Sam.
And then you could have stood as close to him as you liked, there in the dark. Put a hole through him with a gun you'd gotten from Thursby that evening.
Don't talk to me like that, Sam. You know I didn't.
Now, the police will be blowing in any minute now, Angel. Talk.
Oh, why do you accuse me of such a terrible...
Why did you shoot Archer? You thought Thursby would tackle him and one or the other would go down. If Thursby was killed, then you were rid of him. If it was Archer, then you could see that Thursby was caught. Was that it?
Something.
And when
something
you find
like
out
that
Thursby didn't mean to tackle Archie, you borrowed the gun and did it yourself, right?
I guess so.
I know so. You didn't know Gutman was here looking for you until you learned Thursby was shot. Then you needed another protector. So you came back to me.
Yes, but though, sweetheart, it wasn't only that. I would have come back to you sooner or later. From the very first instant I saw you, I knew that...
Ah, you angel. Well, if you get a good break, you'll be out of San Quentin in 20 years.
Sam, you're not...
Yes, Angel. I'm going to send you over. But if they hang you, I'll always remember you.
Don't, Sam. Don't say that. Even in fun.
It's not fun. I happen to be in the detective business, and you killed my partner. It's bad business to let the killer get away with it. Bad for every detective in this country. You're taking the fall.
You've been playing with me. Only pretending you cared to trap me like this. You didn't care at all. You don't love me.
I think I do. But what of it? I won't play the sap for you.
You know it's not like that. You can't say that.
I am saying it.
You know down deep in your heart, you know that in spite of everything I've done, I love you.
I don't care who loves who. You killed Archer. And you're going over for it. Come in. Oh, hello, copper.
Hello, Sam.
You get Gutman and Cairo?
We got Cairo. Gutman's dead. The kid Wilmer had just finished shooting him when we got there.
So I ought to have expected that. You better put the cuffs on Angel, copper. We're taking her down to the station.
What charge?
Sam.
Murder. She shot Miles Archer. Oh, and you better bring that blackbird along, too, copper. It's part of the evidence against Cairo.
Hey, this is heavy. What's it made of?
The stuff that dreams are made of.
story of the Maltese Falcon. Thank you, Mary Astor, Humphrey Bogart, Sidney Greenstreet, and Peter Lorre for appearing with the Lady Astor Screen Guild players tonight and also for telling us the most exciting story.
It was our pleasure, Mr. Bradley. We all had a wonderful time making the picture, and the radio version tonight brought back some wonderful memories. Then, too, knowing that the benefits from these programs support the Motion Picture Country House and Clinic give us an added incentive.
Before we tell you about next week's program, Humphrey Bogart has a word to say from our government.
As you all know, the third war loan drive is on full steam. The drive to back the attack our fighting forces are making against our enemies. As our share toward victory, we at home must buy $15 billion worth of war bonds, which means each one of us must dig down deeper into our own pockets. Each of us must buy at least one extra bond this month. We have to win this war, and we will win, all right. But how soon we win is up to every one of us. So buy an extra war bond this week, sure, to help speed our day to victory.
Next week, the Lady Astor Screen Guild players will present highlights from Warner Brothers' great new musical picture, Thank Your Lucky Stars. It will star Joan Leslie, Dennis Morgan, Dinah Shore, and Eddie Cantor. Be sure to listen. Humphrey Bogart can soon be seen in the Warner Brothers production, Thank Your Lucky Stars. Mary Astor is currently playing in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Technicolor production, Thousands Cheer. Sidney Greenstreet and Peter Lorre appeared through the courtesy of Warner Brothers. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. To help your government save tin, buy the larger size of Lady Astor face cream, and at the same time, you will save yourself money to invest in war bonds and stamps. Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Astor. Thank you. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Maltese Falcon, adapted on the Lady Astor Screen Guild Theater on CBS, heard on September 20th, 1943. The only time the story would be adapted on radio with all of the film players. In May of 1950, wife Lauren Bacall joined husband Humphrey Bogart for an adaptation on the Screen Guild Theater. This is Tune to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, bringing you an hour of mystery. Up next, America's favorite insurance investigator with the action-packed expense account. It's yours truly, Johnny Dollar. A CBS broadcast from November 30th, 1960, called The Bad One Matter.
Johnny Dollar.
Pat McCracken, Johnny, Universal Adjustment Bureau.
Well, good for you, Pat. Just keep it up.
Now, what's that mean?
2 assignments in 1 week? Fine.
Oh, 1 week in 1 day.
So I still like it. What goes this time?
Johnny, how old are you?
Just exactly 30. Huh? Why?
Still young enough to remember how you felt and acted when you were a young punk, huh?
Sure.
But I hope you were a better sort than the one we have to deal with in this matter. And yet, on the other hand, well, you know the saying, it takes a crook to catch a crook.
Huh?
So maybe we'd be better off if you'd been an A-number-1 delinquent when you were a pup.
Do you mind telling me what you're yammering about?
But I suppose you were a good boy.
Well, I was no mama's boy, if that's what you mean.
Oh, I mean no real trouble with the law. No stretch in reform school, no hoodlum gang, no good contact experience.
Pat,
sort of thing.
Pat.
Well, I guess not. It's kind of too bad, though.
You mean if I had a nice black record, I'd be just right for this whatever you have in mind.
And yet, on the other hand,
oh,
Johnny,
come on, Pat. Start making sense, will you? Well?
Yes.
All right.
Culpepper Walker, Mono Guarantee Insurance Company. Uh-huh. Do you know him?
In their office in Little Rock, yeah.
Good. Fly on out and see him, will you, Johnny?
Because of some trouble with some kid?
That's right.
Okay.
Just a kid, Johnny. But if what Walker says about him is true, if you expect to get anywhere with this boy,
yeah,
you'd better take along a pair of brass knuckles, a length of chain, maybe a switchblade knife.
Oh, that kind, huh?
That kind. A real bad one.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. For the Mono Guarantee Insurance Company, Little Rock office. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Bad One matter. Ex- Expense account item 1, $2 for a cab to Bradley Field. Item 2, 8110 airfare to New York to Little Rock, Arkansas. The plane had left New York at 6 p.m. At 8:50 Central Time, we set down at Little Rock Municipal Airport. There have been a lot of changes since the year 1772, when a guy named Bernard de la Harpe stopped here and tagged the place after an outcropping of rock on the south bank of the Arkansas River. Yeah, it's an interesting town with its modern air-conditioned buildings of chrome and glass, its busy streets and busy people. And at the same time, its beautiful residential section, fine homes, plenty of trees and gardens and hedges and lawns that stay a lush green throughout the year. Not far away are well-cultivated farms and dense forests. And along the river, lots of rich bottomland, much of it loaded with cotton. Any kind of crime just doesn't seem right in this area. As soon as I got settled, I called Culpepper Walker, made a date with him, and then early the next morning met him at his office where he got down to business.
No, darling, not right here in town, but in one of the outlying precincts, I guess you call it. Section they call Milltown.
Oh, I see.
And his name is Pete McGuire. Works in a cotton mill. He's 18, 19 years old. And he's the only one knows who killed Mr. Briley.
Briley?
Ambrose W. Briley, client of ours. Insured for near $50,000. And his business partners in the mill are also clients. Very important ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened?
Monday night of last week, Mr. Briley was driving along with a payroll for the cotton mill, like I said, over in Milltown. That's east of here.
Yeah?
Somebody ran his car off the road, bashed in his head, and took the payroll, some $17,000 in cash.
He was carrying all that money around alone at night?
Well, he'd taken it out of the bank here in town just before the bank closed. He started out for the mill. But he'd had some trouble with his car with one of the front wheels, and he had to stop and have it fixed. By the time he got on the road again, it was nearly dark.
Well, tell me, you sure he didn't just swerve off the road by himself?
No, he was shoved off by another car. Tire marks, the skid marks, showed just how it happened. Chief Andy Fisher, the Milltown Police Department, checked that out.
I see. Well, could the police identify the killer's car by those tire marks?
No, sir. And that's where the McGuire boy comes in.
How do you mean?
I mean, he was caught running away from the scene. Not more than, well, couldn't have been more than 1 or 2 minutes after it happened.
Caught by whom?
Well, police car. Chief himself was in it. Just checking the beat out there. He chased the kid down and brought him in for questioning.
Well?
Nothing.
Nothing? What do you mean, nothing?
All he could get out of that tough young punk was absolutely nothing.
Well, then, what am I supposed to do if the police haven't been able to get anything out of him?
Well, you could try, can't you?
But it's a matter for the police.
If it wasn't for Mr. Briley's partners.
Now, what have they got to do with it?
Their insurance. Insurance on the cotton mill. Thousands of dollars in premiums every year.
So?
Well, I can't afford to lose it, Dollar.
Well, so why should
I? And they're
the
ones, his partners, who insisted that I get you out here to investigate.
Oh.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dollar? Johnny?
Okay, Culpepper, I'll see what I can do. Item 3, $50 deposit on a rental car, and I drove over to Milltown, to the one-room police headquarters in the city hall.
Yes, sir, Miss Johnny. I was right there at the scene of the murder in my prowl car, right after it happened.
Oh? How come, Chief?
Man at the bank had told me about Mr. Briley's car trouble. Getting dark, light rain falling, and Mr. Briley toting all that money. Well, I thought I'd better make sure he'd gotten to the mill all right, so I started out that way. But what happens?
All right, what happens?
I got there to Spring Road crossing, and there's his car in a ditch. And another car turning away up the road.
Oh?
And this young Pete McGuire trying to get his motorcycle started and get away from there. Kind of he seen me arriving on the scene. So when I found Mr. Briley's a-dying there in his car, I grabbed the kid. Yeah, if only I'd have had sense enough to follow up that other car.
Now, you're sure this Pete McGuire didn't do it?
Well, of course he said he didn't. And that was before he clammed up like now when he won't say anything. And he also asked me, didn't I see that other car that left a couple of minutes before I arrived?
Well, Chief, that doesn't prove...
And there was another thing, Mr. Johnny. You could still see by the tracks how that other car had shoved old Mr. Briley's car off the road. Doc Hamper come along about that time, and he
could you read those? Could you read those tire marks?
No, sir. But Doc and I could still read the tracks from that Pete McGuire cycle.
Uh-huh.
So he come along after the other car left.
All right, I see.
But he must have seen who was in that other car, so he knows who did it.
Oh, now, wait.
Oh, I'm sure of it, Miss Johnny, because of what Mr. Briley said.
What he said? When?
While laying there in his car, dying, thinking the doc was Pete standing there. And he kept saying over and over.
And Peter, you saw. You saw it. You tell him, boy. You tell him who did it. You saw it, boy. So you tell him. You tell him.
Yes, sir, Mr. Johnny. Over and over again, he said it. And then he died.
I see.
So he knew that Pete McGuire saw who killed him and robbed him.
Well, maybe.
Of course he did. That no good kid.
Why is he no good, Chief?
Why? Well, how should I know why, Mr. Johnny? Except that he wouldn't go to school. He was a town bum. His ma never knowed where he was at. The most work he ever done was pushing a pool cue.
Oh, well, now, most kids...
That boy has been a troublemaker all of his life. 10, 15 times I tried to get him to send him to reform school.
Hey, you really don't like him, do you?
Nothing but trouble out of him.
And I take it he doesn't exactly go for you.
Huh?
Maybe a cop hater even, huh?
Yes, sir. That's right. A cop hater. Just like his old man was. Like his old man taught him before I had to kill him one night in a robbery.
Pete's old man?
They ought to send this cheap punk up to the pen. But first I got to find out who killed Mr. Briley.
Of course you're holding him, Chief.
On what?
Material witness withholding evidence. There must be some way.
Oh, with him claiming he's blacked out and don't remember anything? So that Percy Van Ashworthy Tetweller upstairs...
Percy Van who? What?
The public defender. Got the judge to release Pete McGuire on his own recognizing or whatever it is.
Recognizance.
Yes, sir. So McGuire's out and free as a bird. But if he tries to run up before I can get him up before the jury...
Oh, Chief, lots of
but
kids...
But don't you worry, Mr. Johnny. Everybody on that jury, my friends. So they'll lock him up, all right.
Yeah, I see. Be a kind of revenge, huh? Because he won't cooperate with you.
Now, look, Mr. Dollar...
Well, maybe just because he's a cop hater. Where'll I find this president, this public defender?
Upstairs in his office. But do you think he could get anything out of that kid?
Well, now, as the kid's defender, do you think he'll tell you if he did?
But if he did and you find out, you got to tell me.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Mr. Johnny, I am not going out of here with a punk kid making me look like a fool. All these years working to keep order here in Middletown, having to retire a few months from now. Yeah, and going out no richer than when I was walking a beat. So maybe I'll have to live with some of my relatives somewhere out west. But you think I'm going to leave with this kid making a fool out of me?
I'll see you later.
To paraphrase Gilbert and Sullivan, an announcer's lot is not the happy one. Well, not always. Want to know why? Tell you why. Take this safe driving business. Do you have any idea how many times my confreres and I have begged on bended microphone to beg people not to kill themselves on the highways? Now, once and for all, let's get together on this. Let's understand one another. Unless you want a pack of frustrated announcers on your conscience, slow down and curb highway carnage. If you don't care about yourself, at least have a little consideration for us. And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the Bad One Matter.
Percy Van Ashworthy Tetweiler was hardly what his name might have implied.
And, call me Tet, will you, Johnny? I don't like the name Percy any more than I imagine you do.
Yeah, sure, Ted.
Now, as I was saying, in spite of the chief's feelings about him and all the trouble he had with Pete's father, well, put it this way. That poor ignorant kid has had the odds against him ever since the day he was born. His father was no good.
So I understand.
His mother was an alcoholic. And because he's always been a stupid little runt, the other kids always bullied him.
Oh?
Yes, and when they'd pull a job... None of them very serious, I'll grant you. They'd leave him behind so that he'd be the one to get caught for their mischief and petty thieveries. He didn't dare peach on them or they'd beat him up. And the chief never let up on him. So he's hated cops, hated anything that had to do with law and order.
Which includes you.
Yes, I'm afraid so. in spite of my attempts to get close to him.
And even you haven't been able to get him to talk.
I've tried everything, Johnny. From sugar-coated kindness to the worst threats I could think of. Everything short of Chief Fisher's heavy-handed methods.
Oh? You mean the good old third degree, the rubber hose tactics and things like that?
Well, of course, the chief denies it.
Oh, sure he does.
And don't forget, I'm the one who got the judge to let him out on his own recognizance.
Why?
In the hope he'd open up to me. But to Pete, I'm still the law. Just as much as Chief Fisher and Judge Thurber.
Weren't you taking a big chance on his running away?
But he hasn't.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Won't do any good to ask him. Believe me, won't do any good to ask him anything. Oh. Look out there, out the window. Here he comes now.
Pete McGuire?
Yes.
Okay, give me a try.
What?
Yeah, look, don't tell him who I am, what I'm here for.
Johnny, if I thought you could do any good...
Believe me, I can...
But don't you see, unless he talks, the jury, all of them friends of Chief Fisher, and if he tries
look,
to run...
Now, listen, I'm no friend of yours, see? I'm a... Maybe I'm a troublemaker, a con artist.
What?
Yeah, you want me out of town. You threaten to have me locked up if I... Hey, wait, here he comes.
But, Johnny, I'm afraid I don't...
Yeah, okay. You just try and do it, see? I got a right to make a living, and unless you got some formal charge against me...
All right, now, Mr. Tetweiler.
Pete, come in.
Now, listen, Tetweiler.
You, sit down, Dollar. Sit down.
Yeah, make me.
If I have to, I... No, no, Pete. Pete, do you want to talk now?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Yes, sir, I sure do.
Well, if that's all you got to say to me...
No, Dollar. Hey, I'm not through with you.
That's what you think.
Well, Pete?
Public defender, huh?
That's right. And that's why
you're
I tried to...
You're all trying to trick me, is all.
What?
So you got me out of the clink, huh?
That's right.
So now you think I don't know I'm being followed all the time? By that chief of police or one of his men all the time wherever I go? And I think I know why, sir.
But the chief promised me, Pete.
Yeah, the chief promised you. You believe that dirty cop? I tell you, Mr. Tetweiler, you get him off my tail.
Now, listen, Pete. And don't you see, if you just tell me what you know about the murder of old Mr. Brierly, Pete, please, boy. Pete, listen to me. If you're trying to protect someone by holding back...
Did I say I was? I say I really know anything?
Well, the chief says you do. Well? Oh, Pete, for the... Look, you're in trouble, boy.
I'll get out of it my own way.
No one's really proved you didn't kill him. So unless you tell me what you know,
you... You just keep that cop off my tail.
Hey, wait a minute, kid.
Pete, come back here.
See you later, Ted.
No, Dollar, come back here.
Ah, drop it. Hey, wait a minute, kid. Hey, get your name?
What's it to you?
So you don't like the cops either, huh?
Me either?
Got a tail on you, huh? You want to learn how to shake a tail from an expert?
Expert, huh?
Yeah, that's right, me.
He called you Dollar, huh? Well, that's a good name. Sounds like money.
Oh, yeah, baby, yeah. Maybe plenty of money. And maybe I can use some help in this burg, huh?
Help in what?
Why not just wait? Talk here in City Hall with the cops liable to show? Hey, you got a car?
I got a cycle.
All right, good. I got a car, a good one. So tell me where to meet you, huh?
You don't care if the cops are following me, if they follow you too?
You think I couldn't shake them?
Maybe.
All right, you head for wherever you want me to meet you, see?
Now,
and if I spot somebody following Pete, I'll shake him so easy.
You sure of that?
Sure, I'm sure. Then I'll meet you wherever you say, huh?
Because if they find out where I'm hiding out... You sure you won't tell them?
Look, I promise I give you my word. Well...
7 Mile Road. Out beyond Spring Road at the railroad crossing.
Yeah.
You better hide your car. There are lots of trees.
Yeah.
Now, you walk in... The gully on this side of the tracks. Then you see a little tool shack on the side. I'll be there.
Okay, okay. I don't know how soon, Pete. If we're tailed, I mean, I may have to lead him away. But I'll see you, huh? We were tailed, all right. And I could see by whom. And I wondered. To keep him from following Pete, I had to let the boy go on ahead. It was nearly an hour later then by the time I got to the tool shack. and I thought I'd lost the man who was tailing me. There was no padlock in the heavy hasp on the door of the tool shop.
So y'all come on in, Mr. Johnny.
Johnny?
That's right. Johnny Dollar, the big eye.
I see.
So they brung you here to try to make me talk, huh?
The insurance company, Pete. Not the law, not the police.
No?
No.
I know all about you, Mr. Johnny. I long admire you for a long time. I hear that you was coming here. Oh, I hear lots of things, Mr. Johnny. And I hear you coming here. I figure maybe you can...
help you, Pete. But unless I know whatever it is you know about that murder...
Maybe I can tell you.
Come on, Pete, try.
But I couldn't tell the police. I tell any of them. I tell that defender you're talking to. They don't believe me. You think they believe me over that chief, Miss Johnny? You think they do?
Oh, Pete, you must have a pretty sour idea of justice.
And that chief, he run this town. And he liked to kill me, like he killed my old man. He don't like him. Only he killed me because he'd say he'd catch me trying to run away.
Now, Pete, you listen
and
to me.
And I don't really know who killed Mr. Briley, but I think I know, and that's why I don't dare say what I think to that chief or to anybody.
But when you saw the car, the killer's car, heading away from the place.
But, Miss Johnny, the only one I see is the police car when it comes from the direction of the mill.
From the direction of the mill?
So I really don't know. But that chief say I do, and if I try and answer the questions...
Oh, wait,
Pete. The trick questions, like that chief try and make me answer when he come there and see me there.
Pete, listen.
And I tell you, they only let me loose so they can make me try and run away. Then that chief, he can kill me, and nobody see it's wrong.
Wait a minute.
And he'd do it, too. And
Cutwiler.
Why, I got to...
He himself said that.
Yes, Dollar. The chief had me let him go in the hopes he'd have confidence in me. Talk to me.
The chief had let him go. Sure. Maybe it was to get an excuse to kill him if he ran. And another car... Pete saw no other car. So how would the chief know one had left the scene a couple of minutes before he got there? And there were other things.
You think I'm going to retire with this kid making a fool out of me?
Pride of an old man who's been running the town.
Yeah, and going away no richer than when I was walking a beat.
Oh, but he'd be rich enough with that 17,000 payroll. Sure. In the meantime, he knew that Pete McGuire, in his ignorance of justice and his fear, didn't dare to say what he suspected, didn't dare accuse this man he thought would kill him with impunity. Yeah, and that everyone connected with the law was against him.
Oh, they're all against me, and so I want to live, Miss Johnny. I can't tell nobody, not even you.
Yeah, maybe you don't need to, Pete.
And besides, I only think I know who killed Mr. Briley.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. As sure as I... Huh? Hey, Pete, that smell.
Coal oil.
Yeah, kerosene. Hey, look. Soaking in around this door. It's locked. Somebody's jammed something into that hasp out there.
Mr. Johnny, fire! Now the smoke and this fire.
You're right.
Yeah, winds is locked in here. We'll be burned alive.
Keep talking, Pete. You forgot the hinges are inside this door.
What's this?
Keep talking while I pull the pins out of those things.
We're dying here. We're going to be cooked alive in here, Mr. Johnny.
Here's one.
We're going to burn up in here, Mr. Johnny. We're going to be cooked alive.
Come on, Pete. Come on.
Mr. Johnny, we're going to die.
All right, Chief.
Mr. Donald.
Yeah, that's right.
I see this shack on fire.
Yeah, well, you set this fire. It's further cover up for having killed Mr. Briley.
This boy told you that. I'll kill him, too.
Oh, no, you won't, Chief.
Put away that gun. I'll kill you, too.
Oh, no.
Chief!
You miss you, Pete?
I'm all right, sir.
Oh, this...
So you killed old man Briley.
Mr. Dollar.
And if this boy did know. But until you were sure he did, and you kept him too scared to talk. All right, Chief, you want to write and sign a confession?
But if my people found out,
Or shall I use this gun of yours on
no,
you?
No, please.
It'd be justice, though, wouldn't it? Well?
No. Oh, yes, sir. I'll sign the confession.
Okay, then. Up on your feet.
Up
on your feet.
Yeah, pretty smart. Using that poor, ignorant kid as a means to keep any suspicion away from himself. But believe me, not smart enough. Expense account total, including hotel expenses, the rental car, and the trip back to Hartford, $231.20. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Catching a cold? Well, I guess most everyone knows that the smart thing to do when you feel a cold coming on is to get plenty of rest. But there are some days when no matter how miserable you feel, you just can't stay in bed. And if tomorrow is one of those big days and your cold is complicated by constipation, well, that's when you'll appreciate Ex-Lax most. Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, the double deal matter. And I give you one guess about who comes out at the short end of it. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Larry Dobkin, James McCallion, Forrest Lewis, Russell Thorson, and Sam Edwards. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is John Wall speaking.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from CBS, heard for the first time on November 30th, 1960. That brings to a close this hour of mystery. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.